It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio, but I can say with confidence that for a change, it wouldn't be a bad thing to be outside the Shirley Street studio right now. At last check here, we've got 61 degrees in Cedar Falls. So hopefully if you haven't already, you're able to get out and enjoy this weather. Lord knows we haven't had enough of it. And I think rain's back in the forecast tomorrow. We'll find out when we hear from Megan Mulford during the first break of today's show, like always. Welcome in, though. Thanks so much for being here, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. You'll want to make sure that you like the Facebook page, 1650 102.3 The Fan. Type that in, hammer the like button when you see it, and follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Wasn't here yesterday. Was just feeling a few mild cold symptoms and feeling a little groggy and ran down. So thought I'd do the adult thing, the thing that 32-year-old Cole will do that 26-year-old Cole definitely would not have. Went home and got into the fluids and the vitamins and the over-the-counters, and I'm feeling better today. And, I was worried about, how sometimes you'll wake up feeling better, and then as the day goes on, you kind of fall back into where you were before. That hasn't happened so far, as he knocks on wood. So I'm hoping I take another step forward tomorrow. Don't want to miss out on being with any of y'all the rest of this week, because like always, there's so much to talk about. Thanks for bearing with me yesterday, and just wanted to put that out there in case anybody was wondering where I was. But yeah, feeling better today, and you probably missed Mark Simpson, so I don't know. I think we got a little bit of the fan flu, and I don't know if you could call it that. I mean, just cold symptoms, I know, for myself and Mark Simpson. Haven't heard otherwise, but right now, TBD on whether or not Mark will be in tomorrow morning with Maximum Mornings, but I'll do my best in his stead in the meantime here this afternoon from 5 to 6. So make sure you check out the podcast. You can find it at the all-new website, 1650thefan.com. That's also where you get all sorts of local and statewide sports content. So bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. If you want to dial me up with any questions or comments, by all means, do so. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. As always, coming up shortly to lead off the show, area sports news and scores, plenty to get into. And after we're done there, we take the first time out. That's when you get a CBS Sports Flash, find out what's going on the national sports scene, as well as a VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas, and as well as that aforementioned forecast from Megan Mulford. We'll come back from that first time out and got to check back in on Iowa Hawkeye baseball as the regular season is winding down, and the Hawks got their work cut out for them when it comes to making an NCAA regional. So our guy Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register will join us. You follow Dargan on Twitter at Dargan underscore Southard, and we'll also talk to him. He covers Iowa football. We'll talk to him about the Iowa football NFL draft picks, and if time permits, Dargan also covers U and I football and U and I men's hoops, so we might talk a little bit about that as well. So a little bit of this and that with Dargan Southard set to come up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you'll get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back from that break, and Dirk Homewood, Cedar Falls High School boys track and field coach, will join the show in the third segment today. Another very successful accolade-earning season so far for the Tiger boys track and field team, and the MVC Mississippi Divisional Meet is set to take place tomorrow, and then a week from tomorrow, it is the state track qualifying meet. So great time to check in with Coach Homewood and learn more about his Tiger team before they hopefully go on a run and bring home a bunch of hardware as postseason track and field is right around the corner. So look forward to Coach Dirk Homewood in the third segment today on the show. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we come back and wrap up what is a Wednesday edition of the show. Before we dive in on area sports news and scores, I mean, this is, I'm really trying to grapple with how often to go back to the well here, because we could talk this ever-evolving name, image, and likeness phenomenon in NCAA collegiate sports. Obviously, the two headline stealers being football and men's basketball, but you know, the thing that's been a larger part of the conversation over the past, you know, week plus has been that some of these numbers are getting out there about, for instance, Pitt wide receiver Jordan Addison had a really good year last year with Kenny Pickett, who's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Well, he wants $2.5 million wherever he goes next year. And before you go and get all bent out of shape about Jordan Addison wanting $2.5 million, and you go, you know, I think I follow college football pretty close. I didn't even know who he was before you just mentioned his name there, Cole. He's not the only one. I'm trying to remember if it was Dan Patrick or Rich Eisen pointing out another athlete, football player, in the transfer portal that's asking for $10,000 a month. And I think it's an important time to remind you, and don't get this twisted, I just want to remind you, public service announcement here, public service reminder announcement, they're already getting their education paid for. And at the power schools, they're already getting a cost of living stipend. And then now this is what they're asking. Now, albeit, the Supreme Court made it very clear that these athletes can profit off of their name, their image, and their likeness. But what we're hearing now, and tweeted this out from CBS Sports today at 1650 KCNZ, is that the NCAA is looking to regulate or push back against these collectives of boosters that are essentially formulating contracts with athletes they're trying to get to their respective schools, and disguising these collectives and these contracts as name, image, and likeness. And it's pay to play. So we had to know we would get here, right? That this would be a part of the journey, because it all happened so fast. There was no way to put up any guardrails. You just can't let yourself get too bent out of shape about it. Even if you're a fan of, say, like a UNI, where you go, gosh, what does this mean for a UNI? But it really got me to thinking, though. Like, for instance, let's say next year that three out of the five guys in Duke men's basketball starting lineup are all making six digits. Maybe, hell, maybe one's making a mil to be there. Who's to say that Duke team, just because those guys are making that money, are better than Duke teams of years past who didn't make money or didn't make that much or didn't make it above board, right? It was under the table. And we've seen these Duke teams, whether it's Duke, you know, getting upset in a 2-15 matchup, however many years ago that was, not too long. Was it the Terriers, UMBC? I get some of those 15 and 16s mixed up that have racked up the upsets over the years. But we've seen Virginia go down, right, as the one seed. That was them. Iowa State many moons ago in a 2-15 went down. But the better example being the schools, they're going to have ample resources because of very deep booster rosters, and those booster rosters having millions, if not maybe one or two or maybe more than two, being billionaires, but multimillionaires in many cases, right? But it's not going to guarantee anything. And that's the point I wanted to make clear today. Just because, you know, however many players on Duke's team or North Carolina's team or Virginia's team or USC or Arizona, Lord knows Arizona's going to be paying them, doesn't mean that they're going to all end up in the Elite Eight. They will still lose games. Do I think there need to be guardrails and pushback and some regulation to swing this pendulum a little bit back the other direction? Yeah. I don't have all the great answers right now. We've talked about some of them a little bit. But the money's not going to buy perfection or even something close to it for these teams. What it's going to do, it makes me think about Major League Baseball if you get into the nitty-gritty of it. And how some teams spend so much money and others don't. A term or a figure that gets tossed around is how much did that team pay per win? And we're going to laugh. We're going to be able to laugh. Whether you're an Iowa State fan, Iowa, you and I fan, it'll be to different levels. We know Iowa and Iowa State won't be able to fork over the money for as long as it can be forked over, like the Dukes and Virginias and the Arizonas of the world will. But it's not going to create such a large gap, such a large separation to completely undermine the game. It just won't. And I think that ultimately what will happen is things will change a bit back toward a little bit of sensibility and a model that can work better for everybody. And all this talk about, well, it's just they're going to break off. They're going to make their own league. I heard Dan Patrick talking about it the other day. I'll make the point as I made it before. Love Dan Patrick, but I don't always agree with them. And I didn't agree with that the other day. I think it's easy to let yourself get there and just throw your hands up and go, well, this is where it's going. No. No. Because guess what? Let Yankee fans tell you how much money has bought them in terms of World Series in the last, what, how many years? Closing in on two decades here, Yankee fans? So how's it going to be any different? And it makes you think of recruiting too, right? Recruiting's an inexact science. You get into the recruiting world at all, you're going to hear that term. Maybe it's a cliche, but it's true. If recruiting 5 and 4 stars was all it took, then tell me about why Texas football can't get out of its own way. Why Texas football didn't have one single damn dude drafted in the NFL draft this past weekend. Not one. And there were over 20 guys from FCS schools that were drafted. So it's not just about the student athlete and you got this guy and you're paying him this much and now we're going to be awesome. It's not that linear. So I just wanted to offer a little bit of sanity to the conversation, because it's and fair enough. I mean, it's pretty easy for it to be insane and to present it as insane. In part, it is to a degree, but let's try to keep our wits about us here. All right, let's dive in now. Area sports news and scores yesterday in Metro High School sports. In boys soccer, Cedar Falls won 2-1 at Iowa City High. Waterloo West lost 4-0 to Iowa City West, and Waterloo East lost 7-0. To Cedar Rapids Xavier. In girls soccer, Cedar Rapids Xavier defeated East 6-0. In boys tennis, Waterloo West lost 9-0 to Cedar Rapids Jefferson. In girls tennis, Cedar Falls defeated Linmar 8-1, and Waterloo West fell short to Cedar Rapids Jefferson 5-4. Meanwhile, today in high school sports in the Metro and girls soccer, 1A 15th ranked Columbus is hosting Gladbrook-Rhinebeck. In boys golf, Waterloo-Columbus competing at the NICL tournament at Pheasant Ridge here in Cedar Falls. In girls golf, the second round of the Metro meet is taking place. Teams playing nine holes at Irv Warren. After the first round, Cedar Falls entered today with a big lead over second place Waterloo West. In boys tennis, Cedar Falls plays at Cedar Rapids, Washington. Waterloo West hosts Linmar, and Columbus is hosting the North Iowa Cedar League tournament at Burns Park. And in girls tennis, Cedar Falls is hosting Iowa City High. A 3-0 loss at Sioux City last night in Game 3 of the USHL Western Conference semifinals ended an impressive Waterloo Blackhawks season. Goaltender Emmett Croteau stopped 20 of 22 shots, but the Musketeers' defense limited the Hawks to just 16 shots on goal. Waterloo's three wins away from Young Arena this postseason was its most since 2014, when it reached the Clark Cup Championship Series. The Blackhawks finished their 60th season 28-30-4 overall. The UNI softball team is looking to extend its school record 16-game winning streak as it hosts Iowa right now. The game began at the top of the hour. Final non-conference game for both teams. Panthers enter tonight 29-11. Meanwhile, the Hawkeyes are 19-29. Iowa, however, on a 5-game winning streak of its own. As I mentioned, first pitch was at 5. Also tonight in college softball, Iowa State is playing at Drake. The Cyclones are one game below 500 at 24-25, while the Bulldogs are 18-26. First pitch of that one is at 7. Iowa State guard Gabe Kalscher announced today on social media that after exploring professional opportunities, he's decided to make use of his extra year of eligibility and return for one more season with the Cyclones. In his first season with Iowa State, Kalscher started 34 of 35 games and was third in scoring on the team at 9.6 points per game. The Iowa baseball team lost 3-2 at home last night to Illinois State. A 2-2 tie was broken in the top of the seventh when Illinois State's JT Sokolov hit a single that allowed Caden Beauregard to score on shortstop Michael Seager's throwing error. Despite the loss, the Hawkeyes have won 10 of their last 13. They are 26-15 overall. Iowa returns to action this Friday at 4:05 against Purdue for the first game of a 3-game weekend series. And finally, the Chicago Cubs, they lost 3-1 last night to the White Sox. It's a 2-game series at Wrigley Field in early May. I'm not sure why Major League Baseball did that with a very marketable series. But nonetheless, 3-1, the Cubs lost last night. You can listen to the series finale tonight over here on The Fan. Kyle Hendricks on the bump for the Cubs, opposed by White Sox ace Lucas Giolito. Pregame coverage begins at 6:05, first pitch at 6:40. Speaking of that Iowa baseball team, we talk about them next, and a little bit of this and that as well with Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
All right, a full schedule of afternoon baseball today. Right now, game two in Cleveland. And the Padres, after winning game 1-5-4, currently lead the Guardians 3-0 in the bottom half of the first. Also right now, second part of a doubleheader in Detroit. The Pirates in front of the Tigers by a score of 1-0. Pittsburgh, though, losing game one by a score of 3-2. Kansas City crushed today by the Cardinals. 10-0, Nolan Arenado with a home run, his seventh. Tyler O'Neill added his second. Arenado drove in five of the Cards' 10 runs today. The Yankees looking to make it 12 straight tonight in Toronto and going for their third straight series sweep. Top of the eighth, no score Tampa Bay and Oakland, while Houston leads Seattle 7-2. In the National League today, the Mets and Braves concluded their four-game series, and Atlanta, after being held scoreless for 18 straight innings, scored seven times in the sixth and wins at 9-2. Arizona edged Miami by a score of 8-7. A pair of games in the NBA tonight. The Suns host the Mavericks, looking to go up 2-0, while the Heat take on the Sixers after rolling in the opener, and Philly remains without Joel Embiid. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later, the Zach Gelb Show is joined by New York Giants general manager Joe Shane and Chargers first-round draft pick Zion Johnson. Talk to you then, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio.
This is Pat Hughes. Listen to the Chicago Cubs and fly the W right here on 1650 The Fan.
See CFCCU, your local community credit union, is proud to support the Cedar Falls Tigers. CFCCU believes investing in our schools builds brighter futures for area students and their families. CFCCU was established in Cedar Falls in 1958 and continues to invest in our community. Build your future with CFCCU. Good luck, Tigers.
How confident is Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls about their work? How about a lifetime warranty on their repair work confident? Impressive, huh? This is just one of the many ways Anderson Collision stands apart from the competition. And best of all, they know what they're doing. Owner Jamie Earhart has 25 years of experience in the business. Plus, they have certified estimators and technicians, continuously staying up to date on all the latest techniques and trends in the industry. Anderson Collision in Cedar Falls.
Want to keep your AC from conking out? At your local one-hour heating and air conditioning, we recommend an AC tune-up, ASAP. It can help pinpoint potential problems and even extend the life of your air conditioning system. How's that for a comforting thought? Right now, get cool savings on an AC tune-up. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Number one pound-for-pound boxer Canelo Alvarez will battle Dimitri Bivol with the WBA super light heavyweight title on the line. It's Canelo's first bout in the light heavyweight division since 2019. Alvarez minus 500, Bivol plus 350. The fight Saturday night in Las Vegas. NBA playoffs, the Sixers and Heat in Miami for Game 2 in the East semifinals. Miami up a game and an 8-point favorite tonight, 207.5 the over-under. In the Western semifinals, the Mavericks plus 6 at the Suns, 216 the set total.
Baseball, the Cubs and White Sox at Wrigley tonight. Kyle Hendricks set to start for the Cubs at plus 125 on the money line. White Sox minus 135. Lucas Giolito starting. First pitch set for 640.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 44. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 56 tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Cloudy tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. 47. High of 56 Friday with a chance for scattered showers. 56 Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 61.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Iowa baseball team with a surprising 3-2 loss out of conference last night at Duane Banks to Illinois State of the Missouri Valley Conference. So to talk that and a little bit of this and that, we bring in Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. You follow him on Twitter at Dargan_Southard. Dargan, how you been, man? What's going on?
You know, just enjoying a day that actually resembles the month that we should be in, and listen to some baseball on the porch this afternoon, and just kind of hanging out, waiting for Iowa baseball to kick back up this weekend.
Yeah, I got a weekend series at Purdue, and, you know, it's funny you bring up watching baseball this afternoon. I know you're a Braves fan. I know we got some folks in the audience to remember you being a Braves fan, and I saw a video on social media, I think last hour, that Marcelo Ozuna, your outfielder, he was rung up on three straight pitches in which none of them were actually strikes. Before we dive in on the Iowa Hawkeyes, it seems like Major League Baseball's got a bit of a growing issue on its hands with umpires and their ability to call a ball or a strike.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the AB you're talking about was particularly horrendous. The 7-run inning the Braves put up shortly after that at least stomached some of that pain. But you're right. I mean, and the implementation of the K zone on all the broadcasts, I feel like just kind of has expedited the need for this problem to be fixed because, you know, now you can, you know, relatively see, you know, how bad some of these calls are missing. And I get it. You know, I was I umpired back in the day in Little League and all that, and it's not a particularly fun job when you're, you know, in the headlines, but, you know, it is what it is, and I can't say I'm fully on board with automated strike zones, but I'm getting closer and closer by the day for sure.
Yeah, and as things go along, I've been able to read a little bit about it. There's thankfully some journalists out there that have done some deep dives on it, and it's, albeit not perfect, but it's improving. So it does seem like it's just a matter of time, and maybe one day we'll be talking about it also being at the collegiate level. I'm not sure if that makes a difference last night at all for the Hawkeyes. What can you tell us, Dargan, about the Hawks losing to Illinois State 3-2 last night? As I understand it, checking in on that game this morning, a throwing error loomed large in the seventh inning by Iowa's shortstop, but I have to imagine in a game like that, plenty of other missed opportunities, safe to say.
Yeah, for sure, and really kind of further magnified the issue that Iowa's offense has had at times this year, and, you know, has really been inconsistent and really, you know, outside of a few guys, you know, is kind of up in the air who's going to show up and who isn't on any given night. You look back to even this past weekend in Iowa taking 2 of 3 from Nebraska. They only scored 7 runs in that series and managed to get 2 wins out of it. So, you know, it's tough. I guess, sympathize, or maybe that's not the exact word. I do understand the frustration that, you know, Iowa does a lot of great work on the RPI over the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks or so, and then one, while, you know, no way around it, a bad loss, an untimely poor performance, you know, derails a lot of that with one, you know, tough night on the midweek, which, you know, you look around the country, you see even the highly ranked teams drop midweeks, you know, throughout the year to teams that, you know, maybe it doesn't look like they should. I know Tennessee, number one, lost to Tennessee Tech a couple of weeks ago. So
yeah,
there's definitely an element of, hey, you know, this happens in college baseball. It is what it is. So, you know, in terms of some overarching, you know, high level of concern, no higher than what it already was as Iowa tries to get to the tournament, but certainly an unexpected speed bump to try to overcome, and we'll see if there's enough time and enough quality opponents to do so. It's looking more and more like Iowa's probably going to have to pair a strong regular season finish with a pretty sizable Big Ten tournament run if it wants to make the regional. So you never want to drop these kinds of games, but you certainly don't want to drop these kinds of games in May when you're, you know, trying to put those finishing touches on an at-large resume.
Dargan, when it comes to these midweek games, and for folks that aren't out there and may not understand it, college baseball, once you get into conference play, most always you're playing those 3-game weekend series, and then you get a game in the middle of the week and you're not pitching any of your top 3 starters typically. But is there maybe something to be said about trying to schedule where, okay, yeah, like we don't want some juggernaut coming in on a midweek game, but we also want to maybe see if we can try and thread the needle and find more teams to play midweek that we know if we do lose to them, you know, to use a basketball term, because I'm unfamiliar at the same level with baseball RPI, to not want to have like a quad 4 or a quad 3 team in midweek, maybe not at the start, but definitely not toward the end of your schedule.
Yeah, you know, I will say I was not in the best of situations there, because if you kind of look around the Midwest, and there is, you know, some pretty hard geographical restrictions that usually come with the midweeks because you're dealing with missed class and all that stuff. And so, you know, you look around the country and usually the midweek opponents for anybody is, you know, within a reasonable drive. And so when you look at what Iowa has to work with in that regard, you know, there really isn't a whole lot of quality, you know, mid-major schools around compared to, again, like a Tennessee that has, you know, 6 other mid-major schools in the state. You got some in Kentucky, North Carolina, all that. And so, you know, you're stuck if you're Iowa with scheduling who you can. And, you know, we've seen them in the past kind of try to maximize it. I remember a few years ago they added a midweek against Missouri to try to help the RPI. And, you know, ideally something, you know, more consistent, those teams playing every year, or, you know, maybe a home and home in the midweek. You know, those would be ideal. But, you know, when you look around, you know, it's the Western Illinois, it's the Illinois States, it's the Bradleys, it's the South Dakota States, Northern Illinois, teams that usually live in that 200 plus, you know, maybe in the 170 RPI range every season. And so, you know, it's tough. You know, Iowa's, you know, it may not look like this from the outside perspective, but I think one of the better things that Rick Heller has done has weaved in the non-Division One games that they play in the midweek. And while it may seem silly for Iowa to play a Cornell or a Coe or a Loris, and you think, you know, 99 times out of 100, what do you gain from that if it's a game that gets out of hand? Well, what you gain is, you know, you remove yourself from an opportunity to have one of these crushing losses, because non-Division One results don't factor into the RPI, and it's a good thing for Iowa that it doesn't, because as a lot of people know, they lost to Loris in the midweek earlier in the year. And so
yeah.
They kind of, you know, it's not a fun situation to be in, because, you know, you don't want to load up your schedule with, you know, you don't want to play a ton of non-Division One games. But by the same token, you know, is what you gain in the midweek playing in Illinois State that much greater than the risk you take if you happen to lose one of those games? I don't know, because, you know, it's looking like this one game, as unfair as it may be, you know, may have knocked Iowa too far away to climb back, you know, into that at-large range. So, again, it's a tough scenario, because you're right. You know, you're not throwing your Friday night guy, and you hope that you have enough pitching depth to carry you through these types of games. And, you know, you look at last night's game, it wasn't the pitching that was the problem. It was the offense. And, you know, the offensive guys are the regulars in there during the midweek, same as on the weekend. So, you know, not a whole lot of excuse there, but, you know, Iowa will keep plugging away. 10 games left in the regular season plus the Big Ten tournament, and, you know, they'll try to scrape something together to at least get themselves back, you know, kind of more realistically in the conversation.
Dargan, great stuff. I got to run, all out of time. Always appreciate it, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right. Appreciate it, Cole.
Dargan Southard, Des Moines Register. Make sure and follow him on Twitter, @Dargan_Southard. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up on the other side. Cedar Falls Boys High School track and field coach Dirk Homewood joins us next on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Lack of helmets, loss of control, and impaired driving are the biggest factors contributing to motorcycle injuries and deaths in Iowa. Help us keep riders safe. Brought to you by the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. University of Dubuque President Jeffrey Bullock says a name, image, and likeness exchange created by the athletic department is designed to provide compliance and opportunity. The UD paired with a company called Influencer to become the first Division III school in the country to offer an NIL exchange. The announcement comes at a time when at the big-time Division I level, NIL has far exceeded its original intent.
Who's surprised? Is anybody surprised by it? And personally, I think, you know, the top tier of Division One is kind of moving off onto its own sort of island at some point.
Baseball, the Iowa Cubs continue a series in St. Paul tonight. Midwest League, Cedar Rapids hosts the Quad Cities. This is Radio Iowa Sports.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and the Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Just three words tell you everything you need to know. They tell you why we employ more than 2,000 workers at our factory in Virginia Beach, and why over 10,000 local steel dealers are putting battery power in the hands of Americans. Just three words. Made in America. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. The majority of steel products sold in America are made in America of U.S. and foreign materials. Batteries and chargers are sourced internationally.
Would you and your family like to enjoy a relaxing game of golf at one of the most beautiful and unique golf settings in the state? How about dining in one of the finest restaurants in the Cedar Valley, just a few short steps away from the tee box? Then you deserve Beaver Hills Country Club in Cedar Falls. Nestled just a few minutes from downtown, Beaver Hills offers members exquisite amenities and solitude all at one of Iowa's most challenging courses. Visit BeaverHills.com today or call Chad at 266-1975. You deserve it at Beaver Hills Country Club.
Let me ask you a question. What do you see when you look at your car? Do you just see taillights? Or your dog's tail wagging when you first brought him home? Do you see four tires or two tired kids in the back seat after their first day of school?
Other insurance companies just see a car, but at Brad Jacobson State Farm, we see what your car really means to you. So why not give it the protection it deserves? Call Brad Jacobson State Farm today in Cedar Falls at 277-4134.
Finding the best pre-owned vehicle can be downright frustrating. Bill Caldwell Ford believes in making it simpler. We analyze prices in a 100-mile radius to make sure you're getting the best deal. Plus, our quality pre-owned vehicles get a 100-point inspection. We call it the 200 test. Best price in 100 miles plus a 100-point inspection equals 200 reasons to trust us. Shop BillCaldwellFord.com now to see the difference. Bill Caldwell Ford, clearly a better place.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole and Company. And folks, before we know it, just a couple weeks from now, the Boys and Girls State Track Meet will be taking place at the Blue Oval in Des Moines, Iowa. So we got to check in on Cedar Falls Tiger Boys Track and Field and head coach Dirk Homewood. Kind enough to join us now on the show. Coach Homewood, thanks so much for your time. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. Appreciate you having me on the show to talk a little track and field.
Yeah, looking forward to learning more about your team. You've got the MVC Mississippi Divisional Meet tomorrow, as I was alluding to. State's coming up. State qualifying meet a week from tomorrow. So before we get into things like that, Coach Homewood, look back on what's been a successful regular season. What are some of the first things that come to mind when I ask you about your team's body of work throughout a successful regular season?
Well, I think the first thing you look at is you look back to that 2021 team and the number of seniors that we had on that team that graduated. It was a pretty special team when you look at performances. But I think even more so what you're seeing this year, the leadership has carried over and really inspired a young junior class, some of our sophomores stepping up and learning exactly what it took last year. And we have a group of athletes that are really inspired right now. If you look at the Drake Relays, not the most ideal conditions, rain, cold, wind, but a lot of those kids stepped up. We had five all-time Cedar Falls performances, specifically looking at the jumps. We set a school record in the high jump with Jacob Keeler and Trey Campbell jumping the third best jump in school history.
And, you know, Trey Campbell is one that I wanted to make sure to ask you about today. So since Trey's name is coming up, not only is he a talented jumper, but he's got your second best time, if I'm not mistaken, this year on the team in the 100-yard dash at 11.16. As you well know, a lot of you and I Panther fans tuned in right now that they'll take anything they can hear about Trey. And what can you tell us about what it's been like coaching Trey for a number of years? I think it's such a great thing that he's a multi-sport athlete, as accomplished as he is on the basketball floor. Just like I said, Coach, what can you tell us about him as a track athlete and then just being his coach?
Well, you know, he's a very quiet leader, but he leads by example. Really appreciate him showing up every single day and working hard. You're absolutely right. Probably one of the best all-around multi-sport athletes that we've had to come through. Reminds me a lot of a James Harrington from the 2011-2012 season. So, pretty special athlete when he can step on the runway and jump as far as he can. What I found really interesting is as you dig into the history of our sport, we haven't had anything in the jumps since 1976. And I had to look up who was the coach at the time, and that's back to the Cole Collins era. So to say we waited 46 years for a duo such as Trey Campbell and Jacob Keeler jumping like they are, it's a pretty special time to be a part of track and field.
Jacob Keeler, a part of that junior class that you mentioned already, Coach Homewood. What can you tell us about what Jacob's done to put himself in this position? And, I mean, it can't happen overnight to get back to that level of excellence in the jumps because, as you mentioned, it's been a little bit of time since Cedar Falls was able to be top shelf in those events.
Yeah, you know, and I think what makes Jacob's experiences even more special is that you look at his sophomore year when he was runner-up in the high jump. He was jumping in downpour conditions. And then this year at the Drake Relays, I've never been a part of a jump-off quite like that. So they did move the high jump into the field house, and they were jumping from a turf surface onto a track surface, which is always a challenging experience for any level of athlete, let alone a high school athlete. And, you know, again, when the lights come on, he just has ice water in his veins. And we're dialed in right now, really like where he's at. We feel like that if we make a few little tweaks to his approach, that he can go even higher than 6'9".
Cedar Falls High School boys track and field coach Dirk Homewood, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, hearing you talk about getting your team prepared for the postseason, what you've told us about Jacob, about Trey Campbell, how much of an ongoing process, how maybe nimble do you have to be on a day-by-day basis when it comes to your athletes' development? What's best for them? How to formulate a plan for them, whether that be on the physical or mental side? You've got a bunch of great athletes. What kind of workload is it for you in putting the best path forward for each and every one of your athletes?
So I think the biggest thing for our program is that we look at it from a four-year progression. And this started way back into their freshman year. And we kind of knew that we had a special group coming out of the eighth grade into the ninth grade. So to put a progression in place so that they knew. And we did have some of these juniors that were capable of being varsity athletes, and they would have been varsity athletes on a lot of other programs, but they had to wait their turn. Last year, they got some great experience running at the conference championships in a varsity role, and a few of them even got some experience at the district meet. Definitely came into this season very hungry, very motivated to continue on the tradition of excellence that we preach here at Cedar Falls. And I think you're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg with these athletes. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going into championship season. We love the Drake Relays. The Drake Relays is a great opportunity to compete against all levels, all classes in the state of Iowa. And I felt like we held our own coming into those events. But moving forward, I think the eye is on the prize now, and we know what's expected. And when you get into championship season, it's less about times, it's more about competing. And we feel real good about these athletes and heading into that, competing against all these different schools.
Speaking of the relays, Coach, I have to imagine that having such a historic and widely competitive meet to run in, you know, before the postseason begins, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it may not be all about times. It's about, you know, getting yourself ready to be a competitor. You really probably can't even put your finger on how valuable the relays are.
Yeah, especially when you start looking at the group of athletes that we took down. We had a very limited group of athletes that had any experience. So to say that it was an eye-opening experience is an understatement. But I felt like that our coaching staff did a fantastic job. We have a lot of really good coaches on our staff that have been a part of the relays. They've been a part of some big championship meets in their own coaching career. I felt like that they were educated, they're prepared, and I also felt like it was a real good learning experience for these athletes. I had some great conversations heading forward, and I feel like that we're going to continue to improve over the next 3 weeks.
Well, Coach, another one of your juniors that we got to talk about, junior Caden Shellhorn. He sure looks like he's quite the burner. He's got an 11.01 100-yard dash to his name so far this year, leading the team. Same goes in the 200-yard dash, if I'm not mistaken. What can you tell us about Caden and just how high the goals might be for him as this season heads towards postseason.
Yeah, you know, Caden is a great leader for us. We knew he was going to be a special athlete coming out of his sophomore year. But he's definitely put in the work. You know, a lot of credit goes to Coach Remmert in our strength conditioning program here at the high school. Dedicated himself in there, and his foot speed has definitely developed. I think that you can take a look at TJ Tomjanovich last year, and his range was from 100 to 800, and that really inspired Caden to do the same thing coming into this season. So he has a range from anywhere from 100 meters to 800 meters. He's a part of our cross-country program. You know, it was kind of interesting about Caden is that he battled injuries throughout all across, and we weren't sure if we were going to have him this year. And we certainly are super happy that he's healthy and able to compete for us. Does a great job for us in our different relays, and hopefully at the conference meet we'll get a chance to see him in some of those individual events.
How about a couple of different events we haven't talked about so far, that being distance, relays, or hurdles? What would you say are the first ones that come to mind, the first athletes that come to mind as you head toward the part of the season where you're looking to earn some accolades and earn some hardware?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you start at the 2 mile, you know, two of our runners there are Braden Burnett and Alex Horseman, two seniors that definitely put in the work during cross country, and you saw the success on the cross country field. You know, the 2 mile and track this year, if you look at the Drake results, it's a historic year. I mean, two kids dipping below 9 minutes in the 2 mile, it definitely is a fast year. We feel like that our guys are still competitive enough that they can make some noise in that event, hoping for a top eight finish from both of those guys in the 2 mile. Our shuttle hurdle was super close to qualifying for the Drake relays. They only take 16 teams, and we were 17. It was a rough spring, cold, a lot of meets canceled, and we just figured out that Thursday before the Drake qualifying that we figured out the four athletes that we needed on that, and we ran 3.5 seconds faster than we'd run, and we feel like if we had another week that we definitely would have been a part of the Drake relays in that.
Just a little bit more time here with you, Coach, on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Is there anything else I want to make sure, because it takes everybody, whether or not someone's placing in an event, everybody plays a role on making everybody better. So maybe beyond the headlines, whether it be some senior leaders, some underclassmen that are behind the scenes, you know, making or creating production within your program, beyond the headlines, you know, what grabs your attention when it comes to this 2022 Cedar Falls boys track and field team?
Yeah, you know, we haven't had a lot of chances to run open events, so some of our guys haven't had a chance to get their name in the paper, but two guys that have definitely stood out as team leaders would be Derek Woods and Ben Russell, both juniors. Again, these athletes were in the wings waiting, and when given the opportunity and the lights come on, they're ready. They've been shining, and If you continue to watch over the next couple of weeks, their names will definitely pop into the results. Also want to give a shout-out to Dakota Beeland. He's our adaptive sports wheelchair athlete. He qualified in the Drake Relays in the 400 wheelchair. He did a great job, finished fourth place down there. And, you know, he continues to make a legacy for himself as part of our program. School record holder in the shot put, and he looks to challenge some of those school records over the next 3 weeks too.
Coach Homewood, go figure. I see there's rain in the forecast tomorrow, so I'm already knocking on wood for you. But with that being said, your guys probably are used to running in inclement weather so far this year, this season. So nonetheless, I imagine you're feeling good heading into the Mississippi Divisional meet tomorrow night.
Yeah, regardless of temperatures, regardless of the weather, you know, I feel like that our guys are always ready for a challenge. And you know, sometimes as a coach, we don't even mind it being a little bit more challenging weather-wise, because we know that we're going to rise up to the challenge and we're going to compete no matter what. So, you know, if you look at the preseason rankings heading into the meet, we're ranked third as a team, but we feel like that we can put together one of our best lineups, and we certainly can challenge a couple of those schools in the conference and make them at least earn it tomorrow night.
Coach Homewood, thanks so much for your time today. Really enjoyed learning more about your team. best of luck, best of health the rest of the way. We'll have to be sure to catch up with you after. Hopefully your squad brings home a bunch of hardware this postseason.
Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Dirk. Take care.
Thank you.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Ryan Tannehill spoke to reporters on Tuesday and said that the team's leadership didn't inform him that they were planning to select a quarterback in this year's draft, adding he has no problem with Malik Willis, but doesn't believe it's his job to mentor him, saying, quote, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing. Tannehill also revealed his disappointment to the Titans shipping wide receiver A.J. Brown to Philly, saying, quote, professionally, it hurt. Top target, heck of a football player. Happy to see him get what he wanted, but at the end of the day, it hurts. Meanwhile, 49ers GM John Lynch isn't ready to part with disgruntled star Deebo Samuel just yet. When asked on KNBR Tuesday morning if Deebo would still be on the roster, Lynch said, it's a yes for me. He's too good of a player. Finally, the Falcons re-signed defensive tackle Grady Jarrett to a 3-year extension. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
We hear it everywhere. It's hard to get a new product in almost every industry. I'm Chris Fink with Tubbs R Us, and I have some great news. We have new QCA spas in a variety of colors and styles in stock right now. At Tubbs R Us, you'll get free delivery, plus the lid, lifter, and chemicals you need to enjoy your spa. Stop in today, and you could be relaxing in your new QCA spa right away. We're Tubbs R Us, on the corner of Ainsboro and Falls Avenue in Waterloo.
They say practice makes perfect. But once you've got it down, that's only the beginning. There's a whole world out there waiting to see what you can do. So this is for the creators, the performers, and the innovators who love to inspire, be inspired, and do what they love to do. So whenever you're ready to put yourself out there, we've got your back. Because whoever you aspire to be, First Bank will be the first to serve you. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Lakers need a lot of help. LA's struggles shouldn't be news to anyone. The team had one of the more disappointing seasons in recent memory. LA is now looking for a new head coach. It was reported yesterday that Hall of Fame coach Phil Jackson will serve a significant role in finding that new head coach. Jackson is widely considered one of the brightest minds basketball has ever had. But being a Hall of Fame coach doesn't make you great at evaluating coaching talent. In his 39 months with the Knicks, Jackson hired Derek Fisher, was heavily interested in Luke Walton, and hired Jeff Hornacek in 2016. Fisher and Hornacek would combine to give New York 4 straight lottery picks and a winning percentage under 430. LA obviously has a more talented roster than the Knicks ever had under Jackson. But if Laker fans think Phil's involvement in the coaching search will automatically guarantee a great hire, might want to think again. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. At Lovesac, they know a lot about total comfort. And they also know that doesn't mean just a couch to sit on and relax. It's a couch that evolves with you and your ever-changing needs. Stealth Tech system featuring immersive 5.1 surround sound by Harman Kardon travels through the fabric and upholstery on your couch to deliver unparalleled immersive audio experience. Learn more at lovesac.com. Love, S-A-C, lovesac.com. Designed for life furniture. And now a message from Discover about real rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that you actually want and something that you can actually use, something like Cashback Match. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, because when it comes to rewards, you can't go wrong with cash back. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday. Got to thank Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register, as well as Cedar Falls Boys High School track and field coach Dirk Homewood. For joining today's show. It was awesome to catch up with Coach Homewood, learn about that Tiger track and field team that should be able to make a lot of noise coming up tomorrow at the Mississippi Divisional Meet and a week from tomorrow at the state qualifying meet. Coming up next, Cubs baseball. final game of a two-game series. White Sox on the north side. Excuse me. Taking on the Cubs. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports once more and Jim Rome's daily commentary. And then we'll hand the baton to Zach Zabin and the Cubs Radio Network at 6:05. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.